From the heart of our nation's capital, here's Family Research Council President Tony Perkins.
Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Washington Watch. Well, today we're broadcasting live from Georgetown, Texas, where I'll be speaking later this evening at the Agape Pregnancy Resource Center Celebrate Life Dinner. The Executive Director, Joe Markham, will join me a little later to discuss the mission of the clinic. Yesterday, I was in New York City at the UN for President Trump's effort to, as he made a speech, calling on other nations to bring relief to the 80% of the world's population that is being persecuted or facing repression because of their faith. He called upon countries to provide protection for houses of worship. Now, of course, international religious freedom was not the only topic of discussion. Climate change stirred up a heated debate as protesters not only converged on the UN, but also the nation's capital. Texas Congressman Louie Gohmert joins us on that topic and the announcement from Speaker Nancy Pelosi that is actually happening right now. The Democrats appear to be ready to start impeachment investigations on Donald Trump. We'll talk about that also. And another topic at the UN that is not getting as much attention is a discussion on global health. Yesterday, while I was at the UN, I spoke with Secretary of Health and Human Services, Alex Azar, about the effort he and Secretary of State Mike Pompeo are taking to counter the pro-abortion push in the UN. Secretary Azar joins us in just a moment with the details of that push. And a church in Florida is helping with the in-birthday abortion campaign. Kim Wiggins, whose husband is the pastor of Evangel Temple Assembly of God in Jacksonville, Florida, well, they have literally put feet to their faith in an effort to stop infanticide in America. Kim joins us with the details about that a little later here on Washington Watch. The website, TonyPerkins.com. If you're on Twitter, it is at T. Perkins. By the way, Values Voter Summit right around the corner, October the 11th through the 13th. There's more information about it at the website, TonyPerkins.com. We've got a great lineup of speakers, as always, conservative leaders, both in the political realm, the church realm, and just conservative thought leaders. We have Ambassador for International Religious Freedom, Sam Brownback, is going to be there, Minority Whip Steve Scalise, Congressman Mark Meadows, Dana Lash. We'll have Dr. Bill Bennett, Eric Metaxas will be there, James O'Keefe, Lieutenant Colonel Oliver North, David Horowitz, Todd Starnes, and many, many more. And, of course, we expect the president to be there as well. So check out the website, TonyPerkins.com. You can find out how to register and be a part of what is described as the premier social conservative event in our nation's capital. You can find out more about how you could be a part of that. Again, that date, October the 11th through the 13th. Go to TonyPerkins.com, and you can find out all about it. All right, as I mentioned yesterday at the United Nations, the president calling upon heads of state to protect religious freedom. And religious freedom is not just a matter of belief. It is the ability to publicly gather with others and worship God without fear. And so one of the initiatives that the president announced yesterday, giving $25 million toward this effort, is to help these governments, and we'll see the details as it is worked out, that these governments will be get training and equipment to make sure that these places of worship, these houses of worship, synagogues, churches, mosques, are not soft targets for terrorists. So that was one of the issues that was prominent yesterday, the reason I was at the UN. But while I was there, I had a conversation with the Secretary of Health and Human Services, Secretary Azar, a very strong pro-life leader, doing protecting conscience, protecting the right to life, all these other things. But you wouldn't necessarily see his role at the United Nations. However, yesterday, teaming up with the Secretary of State, Mike Pompeo, the two of them issued a letter to other nations to push back against this growing push for abortion rights whittling away at parental rights that's taking place through sex education and other things through United Nations programs. So joining me now to talk more about this is the Secretary of himself, Secretary Alex Azar. Secretary, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Tony, it's great to be with you. Thank you for having me.
Well, first, let's just jump right into it. What prompted you to call on UN member nations to oppose these growing efforts to promote abortion internationally?
Well, you know, Tony, we started this effort back in May at the World Health Assembly, which is the member countries that belong to the World Health Organization. And what we have found is, for too long, is that many of these Western elite democracies have tried to force their views about abortion onto other countries. And we, the United States, always try to find compromise. We try to avoid these issues. We try to find places of commonality around healthcare and don't try to drive our agenda on them, but they try to force this on us and other countries. And we stood up and said, no, we're done with this. And countries representing over 1 billion people stood up at the World Health Assembly and said, enough. You must respect our sovereignty. You must respect our values and do not force them on us. And so now, coming to the UN General Assembly, working closely with Secretary Mike Pompeo, he and I sent a letter to other countries saying, join with us in this effort. And 20 countries representing over 1.3 billion people on Earth said the same.
I think that's extremely important, Mr. Secretary, that people realize that this is not just America that's out there on its own. You've got, as you mentioned, over 20 countries representing 1.3 billion people. I mean, you're talking about Brazil, Poland, Iraq. I mean, quite a diverse gathering of countries saying, hey, we agree, this stuff should not be forced upon us. And you didn't pull any punches. You said there is no international right to abortion. Besides the expected pushback from the pro-abortion groups, the non-governmental organizations, were there any specific countries which took exception to your pro-life declaration?
Well, obviously those elite nations came out with their own statement in support of abortion on demand as a fundamental international right, which of course is not the law. It is not accepted in international convention, and the United States will not agree to that proposition. But you know what, Tony? I'll tell you what happened. I gave those remarks where I supported President Trump's view and Vice President Pence's view that there is no international law right to abortion and that the views of elite countries shouldn't be forced on other countries. I came down off the podium and two other countries came up to me, and they said, just walking across the floor, and they said, please, please, can we join with you? Because having the United States as a beacon, as a protector to say these views are okay, we will protect you if you have these views, it gives them comfort and allows them to speak out where they have been cowed before in these international communities. So it was very moving for me to have these two separate ministers come up to me and say, please, can we join you?
I would go a little further, Mr. Secretary. I think under the previous administration, it was the opposite. We had an administration that was actually pushing this agenda and punishing countries that would not sign on. Here, you're providing leadership for what is, I would say, the majority view of the member nations that, abortion is not a healthcare right. But by leadership, you're bringing people on, not coercion.
Well, that's right. In the previous administration, the United States would have been counted along with the Netherlands and others of these elite countries that are driving this agenda. And now we're standing apart and saying, if you choose to be with us in protecting the sanctity of human life, we are here for you. We are here. We don't pressure. We simply have offered this alternative viewpoint. We were transparent about this. 2 weeks ago, Secretary Pompeo and my letter, we posted on our HHS website to be transparent about this. We sent it to over 75 countries. One could hardly but be transparent about that. Pro-life reporters have reported on our efforts to make this known to people. Not pressure, but making sure people know that this is an option for you. You no longer have to hide in the shadows if you support life from conception or do not want to have the views of these elite countries forced upon you.
See, I think this is quite significant, Secretary Azar, because you have the United States now taking a leadership role in advancing the sanctity of human life in the United Nations, which has long been a seedbed for everything, all the weeds and the cultural things we fight against. But you also in this not only address the issue of the sanctity of life and that life should be respected, but you talk about the family. You state in this letter that you and Secretary Pompeo sent is that we respectfully request that your government join the United States in ensuring that every sovereign state has the ability to determine the best way to protect the unborn and defend the family as the foundational unit of society, vital to children thriving and leading healthy lives. And further in here, you actually go into some of these sex ed programs that are undermining the authority of parents.
That's right. They want to demand programs that exclude the family from family planning, exclude the family from critical discussions with our youth about sexual and reproductive issues. And we stand against that. We believe the family needs to be a part of that, but they want to exclude that. And you know, Tony, one of the pernicious things they do is they hide behind language, politically correct language like sexual reproductive freedom or rights, and they sneak these things, they try to sneak these things in, but we catch them, into UN resolutions and documents that then UN bureaucratic staff and other international organizations can then use to claim that there had been established a fundamental international right to abortion or international right to the exclusion of the family and family planning consultations. And we are watching this, and we are calling them out on this. We don't seek this. We are not the mover. We wanted to be here at the United Nations focusing on universal health care issues, how we can improve primary health care access to the world's citizens. How did this become an issue of abortion? It wasn't us. It wasn't us. The other nations are trying to exploit this as a vehicle because they know the popularity of the universal health care initiative. They're trying to exploit it as a way to fulfill their aggressive agenda.
Yeah, that is very representative of how they do that. They push, you say no, and they accuse you of pushing an agenda when they're the ones that were pushing it the whole time.
It is Kafkaesque. We don't demand, we don't pressure, we don't initiate, and yet we get accused of all of that.
Secretary Azar, we're out of time, but I want to thank you for joining us, and I want to commend you, as well as Secretary Pompeo, for leading out in the United Nations for the sanctity of human life. And not only there, you've been doing this consistently domestically in our policy, so we thank you.
Thank you, Tony.
Secretary Alex Azar, Secretary of the Health and Human Services, joining us from New York, still at the United Nations. All right, when we come back, another topic at the United Nations yesterday was global warming. I'm sorry, the politically correct term, climate change. A non-politically correct member of Congress joins me next, Louis Gohmert, to talk more about climate change. That's next. Don't go away.
We live in a time of great political division, and this division only intensifies during campaign season. The toxic tone in politics can be discouraging, which makes it a very real temptation for many Christians to wipe their hands of politics altogether. After all, if God is sovereign and controls the heart of the king, as Proverbs says, do we really need to get involved in the messy world of politics? Because political engagement can be divisive, shouldn't Christians abandon politics and direct their energies toward more spiritual pursuits? Christians are called to submit every area of their life to God, which includes how they engage in politics. But they are called to engage biblically. This requires Christians to be prepared to follow their political theology to its logical end and vote for candidates and parties that support clear biblical values. For more information on the Christians' call to engage in politics, visit frc.org/engage. That's frc.org/engage.
News. We can get it from many sources, but what can you trust these days? Where can you get news that doesn't make you as suspicious as you are informed? If you're looking for something better, for honest coverage of the latest news, one trusted news source I look to is the Washington Times. When preparing for the radio program and selecting guests to join me on the show, I will often read the Washington Times and have their reporters join me here on the program because I trust how they cover the news. Join me and more than 7 million readers who turn to the Washington Times every month to get real, trusted news. For a limited time only, listeners of Washington Watch with Tony Perkins will receive a special annual rate of $69.95 for the first year. Subscribe to the Washington Times and get this special offer by using my name and visiting washingtontimes.com/Tony Perkins. That's washingtontimes.com/Tony Perkins.
Are you a student? Do you know a student? Well, this year, students can apply for scholarships to attend FRC Action's Values Voter Summit at no cost. At VVS, students will join thousands of like-minded conservatives who care about the issues that are shaping our nation. They'll enjoy our Student Mixer Trivia Night, topics covering everything from history to politics to the upcoming 2020 election. They'll hear from key conservatives, including Ali Stuckey, Congressman Mark Meadows, Dana Lash, and more. They'll have the opportunity to pursue influential jobs and internships with reputable organizations at our job fair meet and greet. Students will also have the chance to learn how to impact our world by attending our student breakout sessions. From October 11th to 13th, come to Washington, D.C. for Values Voter Summit. This is one weekend no student should miss. Learn more about scholarships by visiting valuesvotersummit.org/students or by calling 1-877-372-2808.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. The website, TonyPerkins.com. So glad to have you with us as we're broadcasting from Texas. Yes, I prefer this location better than where I was at yesterday in New York. No offense to New Yorkers who are listening, but I prefer the wide open spaces of Texas. Well, speaking of New York and the United Nations, in addition to the issues we've already talked about, we had the president talking about international religious freedom. We had Secretary Azar talking about ending this push for abortion in the policies of the United Nations. Well, also, the big news was the United Nations Climate Action Summit. And they were everywhere. I mean, it was crowded there yesterday. And that's what the left has been focused on. They even featured a Swedish 16-year-old climate change activist named Greta Thunberg, who expressed her indignant rage with political leaders yesterday. Here's a clip of what she had to say.
I shouldn't be up here. I should be back in school on the other side of the ocean. Yet you all come to us young people for hope. How dare you? You have stolen my dreams and my childhood with your empty words. And yet, I'm one of the lucky ones. People are suffering. People are dying. Entire ecosystems are collapsing. We are in the beginning of a mass extinction. And all you can talk about is money and fairy tales of eternal economic growth. How dare you? You are failing us.
Obviously, she's one that follows AOC on Twitter or Instagram. Look, the environmentalists hope to convince presidents, prime ministers, and corporate executives to wean the global economy from fossil fuels to avoid the alleged worst effects of global warming. Now, of course, according to AOC, we got 12 years. Well, I guess it's probably 11 and a half by now. You got to get rid of fossil fuels, coal, oil. But anyway, despite the protest in the streets of New York City in Washington, D.C., China made no promises to take stronger climate action on Monday, one of the greatest polluters in the world. And the United States, having vowed to pull out of the Paris Agreement, the pact among the nations to jointly fight climate change, said nothing at all about it. So join me now with his analysis is Republican Congressman Louie Gohmert, who represents the 1st District of Texas and serves on the Natural Resources Committee and the Judiciary Committee. Louie, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Hey, it's always good to be with you, Tony. And it is, I mean, hearing that girl in the clip you played, I mean, it sounds so tragic, but she's obviously been terribly miseducated, and she's been driven to the point of just almost being certifiable because she's so worried. I mean, that is outrageous that people have driven her to that point. And there was a great article Breitbart had used, another article that was by Ebel Malloy. But anyway, just documenting, in 67, there was a dire famine forecast. By 1975, everybody was going to be starving.
Right.
In 69, everybody was going to disappear in a cloud of blue steam. By 89, the Ice Age, 1970, we were told the Ice Age would be here by 2000. And these are some of the same people we're hearing from now, Tony. In 70, America was... would be subject to water rationing by 1974 and food rationing in 1980. 71, the new ice age coming in 2020 or 2030. And I remember professors and teachers all talking about, that we're at the beginning of a new ice age. The world's going to be covered. It'll be extinction of mankind. And I'm going, I know that's not the way things end here on Earth. It's just, it's not, we're not going to end in an ice age. I don't care what the scientists say. Well, it turns out the scientists were completely wrong. But there's 50 years of them getting this stuff every bit wrong. You remember the hockey stick that was going to be just devastating and end the world. Well, it turns out there's no hockey stick. There's just barely a polo pony. But anyway, they've been so wrong, and they're scaring young people and making them think that it's all going to come to an end, when the bottom line, you know it, I know it, we've talked about this, but in order to take away people's freedom and have some kind of big globalist 1984 Orwellian type international government, you've got to scare people enough that the world is ending unless you give all your rights over to this big government and let them save you. And they found it. I mean, there have been fears that, you know, either the weather or gods were using the weather, and, oh, gee, we got to throw somebody, you know, in a volcano to stop the volcano. We got to do this, that, or the other to stop the bad weather. I mean, this stuff has been around as long as man's been around, and it's just amazing that we've come this far in civilization and we still have educated people being scared by educated people that are just miseducating and wrong about the science.
Well, and that's the key there. You talk about education. That's where these children are being indoctrinated with this day in and day out in our education system. But there's something new here that wasn't in the past. You have billionaires coming behind this agenda for the power grab that you talked about. You look at, actually, this girl, Greta, has links all the way back to George Soros. And there is a reason they want to scare people so that they can consolidate their power for their entire leftist agenda.
And, you know, I majored in history, never stopped studying it. And what amazes me is, as well-educated, supposedly, as these billionaires are, that are given hundreds of millions of dollars to try to turn us into a socialist, globalist, progressive system. I mean, they're not, they may help get us there, but their money will be taken and they'll either end up dead or in a gulag. They hadn't been aware of that.
Well, it's all the more important why we must counter what our children are being taught in these government schools, where they're being indoctrinated on this agenda.
Exactly.
Louie Gohmert, thanks so much for joining us. As always, great to talk with you, my friend.
Thank you, Tony.
And by the way, I'm in your great state of Texas today. All right. Louie Gohmert, to find out more, go to the website, TonyPerkins.com. Coming up next, a pastor's wife in Florida joining the effort to end birthday abortion, putting feet, literally, to their faith. We'll talk with Kim Wiggins next here on Washington Watch. Don't go away.
Radical abortion laws in New York, Illinois, and Vermont are challenging the sanctity of life. These laws have lifted the few existing restrictions on abortion in the name of family planning and mental health of pregnant mothers. Americans need to take a stand and defend the rights of the unborn. Family Research Council is sending Congress 90,000 baby hats as a reminder that babies should be welcomed with love and warmth, not potential danger. Supporters have already funded over 45,000 hats. We are over halfway there. Join Americans across the nation and donate $9 to send a powerful reminder that young lives need to be cherished. When you take action, we'll send you an end birthday abortion certificate that will remind you to pray for born alive babies who are facing the danger of being killed outside the womb. Visit endbirthdayabortion.com for more information. That's endbirthdayabortion.com.
Are you concerned with the state of our nation? Do you want to protect and promote religious freedom, the sanctity of life, free speech, and our children's educations? Today we see a growing threat against our values on the news, on our college campuses, in our elementary schools, at our public libraries, and in our courts. Every year in Washington, D.C., thousands of conservatives attend FRC Action's Values Voters Summit. From October 11th to the 13th, come to our nation's capital to mingle with and hear from key conservatives who are bringing real change to Washington, D.C. And learn how you can, too. FRC President Tony Perkins will be there, along with Ali Stuckey, Bill Bennett, Dana Lash, Oliver North, and U.S. House and Senate leaders. The 2020 elections are right around the corner, so this is one weekend you won't want to miss. We provide free scholarships for students. Register online at valuesvotersummit.org or call 1-877-372-2808. That's 1-877-372-2808.
This is Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. The website, TonyPerkins.com. As I mentioned, we're broadcasting live from Georgetown, Texas, here tonight. We're going to talk about this in a little bit. The Agape Pregnancy Resource Center, their Celebrate Life banquet. We're going to talk about that a little bit later. But as you know, Family Research Council has been urging Congress to pass the Born Alive Abortion Survivors Protection Act really since January, since Republican Senator Ben Sasse of Nebraska introduced the bill in the Senate, and then it was introduced in the House. Well, sadly, House Speaker Nancy Pelosi, who leads the Democrats in the House, has blocked this anti-infanticide bill at every turn. I think over 80 times Republicans have asked for a vote, just an up or down vote, and it's been denied. And that's why the Family Research Council initiated the End Birthday Abortion Campaign with a goal of sending 90,000 newborn baby hats to Nancy Pelosi. You know, those little thermal blue and pink hats. To send a very clear message to her, to persuade her to stand for the life of those babies who actually survived botched abortions. And we believe any decent person should favor immediate medical care to a baby who has been born. And that's why we've urged people to go to TonyPerkins.com, click on the End Birthday Abortion link under the episode resources, and for every $9 you give, that's another hat. And we're about we're over halfway there. We're close to 60,000 of these baby hats. Well, when Kim Wiggins, the wife of Pastor Gary Wiggins at Evangel Temple Assembly of God in Jacksonville, Florida, heard about the horror of birthday abortion, she immediately said she felt convicted by God to take a stand and do what she could to end this inhumane practice. Well, joining me now is Kim Wiggins. Kim, welcome to Washington Watch.
Thank you so much, Tony, for having me. We are so excited about supporting life. We believe Proverbs 31:8 that says, speak up for those who have no voice, and Deuteronomy 30:19, now choose life. We believe that children are a gift of God, that they are His reward, and that an unwanted pregnancy does not mean an unwanted baby.
Well, Kim, I want to thank you for taking this initiative to come along behind us and support the End Birthday Abortion Campaign. And I really like what you organize, because I think it's literally putting feet to your faith. Explain to our listeners what you organized to raise funds for the End Birthday Abortion Campaign.
Well, this past Saturday, September 21st, we had a 5K. We called it Awaken 5K, Save the Babies and Birthday Abortions. So we sold tickets for $20, and we told our people to run, walk, stand, do something. And we had 140 runners, walkers, and we raised $10,000, of which 93 to 94% will go to the cause. And we gave prizes, the fastest runner, man runner, because we had men and women. The fastest man runner got $100. The fastest woman will receive a prize of two Awaken Women's Conference tickets, a free entry into next year's 5K, one item from our Awaken boutique, and then one nail and pedicure.
Well, and you also had you recognized those the participants who raised the most money, and
correct.
As I understand, Carol Gibson, age 76, who walked the 5K, raised the most. How much did she raise?
Carol raised $2,000, and the wonderful thing about Carol was that she had had an abortion before she came to know Jesus. And she is passionate about saving babies. So she raised $2,000 for this call.
Well, Kim,
and then we had...
Go ahead.
Our congressman, when we were researching of how to support those who fight abortion and believe in life, we talked to our congressman, John Rutherford, and we asked who is the best person or best organization in Washington that fights abortion and birthday abortions. And Congressman Rutherford said there is none better than Family Research Council. And so that's why we contacted Family Research Council and told them about our run. And so we're going to be sending $5,000 to Family Research Council within the next week or two. And then the other $5,000, we have two clinics because we wanted to cover nationally and locally. So we covered nationally with Family Research Council. And locally, we are supporting two clinics in Jacksonville that save babies. One is First Coast Women's Services that has saved over 900 babies in 2018, and Women's Health Center that has saved over 300 babies.
That is outstanding. Kim, I just want to thank you and your husband for leading out on what I think is one of the most important issues of our day. That is standing up for the unborn and doing something, not just talking about it. So thank you so much for partnering with FRC and with those local care pregnancy centers. Extremely important. Kim, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you.
All right, when we come back, we're going to talk more about those care pregnancy centers because that's where I'm at tonight. We're in Texas for Agape Pregnancy Resource Center and their annual Celebrate Life Gala. And I'm going to be joined by the executive director, Joe Markham, when we return. So don't go away. More Washington Watch to come right after this. Hello, this is Tony Perkins, President of the Family Research Council here in Washington, D.C. I want to invite you to join Luana and myself, along with Lieutenant General Jerry Boykin, former Congresswoman Michelle Bachmann, for FRC's Israel Tour, June the 2nd through June the 12th, 2020. Whether you're sailing on the Sea of Galilee, standing in the ruins of Capernaum, or journeying up to Jerusalem, Israel is unlike any other place on earth. You'll relive the final earthly days of Jesus as you pray in the Garden of Gethsemane. You look upon Golgotha and stand in the Garden Tomb. The reality of his story will come alive in a transformative way. This one-of-a-kind tour will not only allow you to explore the land of the Bible and the roots of our Christian faith, you'll also hear firsthand from some of Israel's political, defense, and religious leaders. Join us June the 2nd through June the 12th for this life-changing experience. For more information, visit TonyPerkins.com or call 844-872-5155.
Planned Parenthood is not pro-woman. For decades, the nation's leading abortion supplier has claimed to be the champion of women's rights, but nothing could be farther from the truth. Planned Parenthood has repeatedly violated the law and violated women, from aiding and abetting sex traffickers, covering up child sexual abuse, and selling the remains of aborted baby parts, to ignoring the devastating effects that abortion has on women's physical and mental health. From its racist eugenic roots to the targeting of vulnerable communities, Planned Parenthood is an organization that not only promotes a culture of death, but makes it a reality. In a new brochure from FRC, you will find evidence that will challenge your assumptions about Planned Parenthood and equip you with the information you need to be a true champion for women and the lives of unborn children. To order this brochure and to download your free digital copy, visit frc.org/Planned Parenthood.
It's almost that time of year. FRC Action's annual Values Voter Summit is just around the corner, but there is still time to register. Join thousands of like-minded conservatives who, just like you, care about the state of our nation and want to do their part in protecting and promoting religious freedom and the sanctity of life, free speech, and marriage and the family. From October 11th through the 13th, come to Washington, D.C. to attend FRC Action's Values Voter Summit and hear from key conservatives who are bringing real change to Washington. And learn how you can, too. FRC Action President Tony Perkins will be there, along with Ali Stuckey, Bill Bennett, Dana Lash, Oliver North, and Congressman Mark Meadows. The 2020 elections are fast approaching, so this is one weekend you won't want to miss. Ask about our scholarship for students. Register online at valuesvotersummit.org or call 1-877-372-2808. That's 1-877-372-2808.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. The website, TonyPerkins.com. By the way, I hope you have the Stand Firm app. That way, no matter where you are, what part of the country you're in, you can hear Washington Watch every afternoon, 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Go to the App Store if you have a smartphone. It's Stand Firm, the Stand Firm app. Also, you'll get alerts to let you know when, where, and what you need to do to act as it pertains to the core things that affect your family, whether it's life issue, whether it's issues regarding religious freedom, whatever. We'll keep you informed. Get that app, Stand Firm app. And remember, coming up October the 11th through the 13th is the Values Voter Summit. All of that can be found at TonyPerkins.com. All right. As I mentioned at the top of the show, I'm in Texas. I much prefer Texas over New York. It's nice here. A lot of space. But I'm here tonight for a special reason. I am going to be speaking outside of Austin, Texas, at the Agape Pregnancy Resource Center. It's their annual Celebrate Life fundraising gala, and I do a few of these a year. And it's just these resource centers, these care pregnancy centers, are so important in the battle for life. And we've seen it over the last 45 years, how we've actually moved the public on this issue. And a lot of it has to do with what happens day in and day out at these resource centers, all funded primarily by individuals who just give and volunteers who serve. Well, joining me now is Jo Markham. She is the executive director here at the Agape Pregnancy Center, and I'm here at her invitations. And so now you're here at my invitation. Jo, welcome to Washington Watch.
Well, thank you so much for being here in Texas. We are excited for you to speak to our guest tonight.
Well, I'm looking forward to it. I always look for a reason to be outside of Washington. That's exciting in and of itself. But here in Texas, there's been a lot happening. I'm going to talk a little bit about this tonight and what's happened in the last several years, the last nine years, a lot of pro-life legislation, a lot of pro-life activity, and you've seen over half the abortion clinics in this state shut down.
Yes, we have. We have got an amazing pro-life movement here, And we are proud of the legislation that has come out of Texas in the past few years that's truly saving lives.
Yeah, I was reading the latest Guttmacher Institute report, and they don't think too highly of Texas.
You don't think?
They were complaining. By the way, folks, the Guttmacher Institute originally was the research arm of Planned Parenthood. They were spun off. They do their own, but they're the pro-abortion side of the research, so they look at all the numbers from that perspective. And Texas has really been leading the way on a number of pro-life fronts. And we talk about legislation. That's an important aspect, and I'm going to talk about that tonight. But also, what I think is actually more important than legislation is what happens in the care pregnancy centers, in these resource centers, which are growing in number.
Yes.
Now, the Agape Resource Center has been here for 15 years. Tell us a little bit about the story and how you got involved and started this and have brought it to the point that it's at now.
Well, back in 2002, I was taking my babies to preschool one morning and got to listening to a radio program, Focus on the Family, where they were interviewing pregnancy center directors from across the nation. And it piqued my interest and got back home and called the missions director at my church at the time and said, why don't we go volunteer at our local pregnancy center? I was new to Round Rock. And so I started looking through the yellow pages for our local pregnancy center. That was back then when that's where we found information, and there was nothing there, but there was something called the Heidi Group. And I didn't know what it was, so I called my pastor, and he didn't know. But it was located in Round Rock, so I called them, and I talked to the receptionist and said what I just heard on the radio and was very moved, and we'd like to come volunteer with them if they were a pregnancy center. And she said, well, I'll have our director call you back when she gets in. And all this happened just over the course of a couple of hours that morning. So about an hour later, this lady called me back and in this strong Texas accent said, this is Carol Everett. Did you just hear me on the radio? So God had my attention at that point. And we went and met with Carol and talked about what she did, which, you know, she helps centers across the nation and works in the political arena. But we offered to help her with whatever she needed. We said, we'll empty your trash. We'll help you with your stuff, newsletters, whatever you need. And she looked us right in the eye and said, no, I want y'all to start a pregnancy center here in Round Rock. We've been praying for one for years. And I tell everybody we did the nice Baptist thing to do. We said, I'll pray about it.
Yeah.
And we left, but we did. And one thing led to another. And we started without a penny to our name, with no knowledge, no experience. But God did an amazing move. And since 2004, we have seen over, I believe, 16,000 first-time clients and return visits over 60,000 for classes and other services. So impacting lives with the gospel of Jesus Christ and with babies' lives saved and generations impacted.
See, that's where I think the real impact is made, is that it's not just meeting the physical needs, as important as that is.
Right.
But it's the underlying spiritual need.
Right.
Because many of these girls who come, my experience has been that many of them have faced, I mean, they've faced exploitation,
yes,
rejection, they're hurting, they're confused, you know, they don't know where to go.
Right.
And not only the arm around the shoulder saying, we'll walk with you through this, but sharing them the greater purpose to life.
Right.
Is what is transformative. And I think is what is described as winning the hearts and minds.
Right.
It's not a political issue. See, this is what's happened, I believe. Abortion, not so much by the right, but by the left, has been turned into a political issue. And then we look at it one-dimensionally.
Right.
You have to look at it as both a spiritual issue, as a spiritual and a moral issue that is often debated and addressed in the political.
That's right. And that's what's so exciting about what we do in these centers. It transcends politics. And the women who walk through our doors, all they care is that they are receiving unconditional love.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so amazing, because our pregnancy center, like so many others, we give exit surveys to young women after their first visit. And like other pregnancy centers, ours are literally 99.9% glowingly positive, because women feel the love of Christ. they may not know what it is, but they feel the presence of the Holy Spirit. And their lives are changed, and they're equipped with their physical needs being met and their spiritual needs being met. And that's our mission.
These clinics, as they're meeting those needs, what we're seeing, and again, going back to the Guttmacher Institute report that was released last week, where abortion in the United States is actually down 53% from its high point in the 1980. It's half of what it was in 19. I mean, it's down clearly from where we started in 1973. But what is interesting in this is that there are more women carrying their pregnancies to term. Those that have unintended pregnancies, they're carrying them to term. So that tells me that there's something else happening here. It's not just laws that are forcing people to do this. This is people seeing hope. They're seeing, they're finding the help they need. And they're also coming to an understanding. Technology, I think, has been on our side with this as well. The ultrasounds, when people can actually see that this is not a blob of tissue, as Planned Parenthood would like them to believe, but a child.
Right. And what's so exciting is that we are able to walk with these women beyond the birth of the baby and get them equipped to parent and to get on their feet financially. Whatever their needs are, pregnancy centers across the nation, we know what's in our communities, and what we can't do, we know someone who can. So we're able to get them spiritual help, mental health help, medical help, housing help. Whatever their needs might be, we can either meet those needs or we can find someone who can. And so when the baby comes, they're ready, and we're still walking with them even beyond the birth.
And I think that's important, because that's intimidating, especially if you have a single mother who is looking at, look, I'm going to have this baby. I've got the responsibility of the baby. I've got this. I don't even know how to change a diaper. How am I going to do this? And if a family has rejected them, where do they turn? And that's where these care pregnancy centers come in.
And, you know, one of the most powerful things that we hear from women is, of all the resources that we're able to provide, one of the best things that we can do is just believe in them and say, we know that you can do this. And I think the other side underestimates the strength of women. And when we affirm them, we say, you can do this. And then they believe in themselves.
There's also an understanding that as we're created by God, and as women are uniquely created by that, that's where we have an advantage. We actually believe God creates women and creates men. We don't choose our own sex. God creates, and he equips as he does that. And a woman is, you know, just as a father, generally speaking, is equipped with a protective instinct. You know, a mother has a nurturer, and she nurtures. And so with a little bit of training and encouragement, she can do it.
Yes, yes. And we love equipping women and the young men like that as well. And pregnancy centers like ours across the nation are working with men as well. We want to reach the entire family. Right. If the guy's in the picture, we want them getting educated and equipped alongside the woman.
Well, I think it's very important, because oftentimes what I have seen as a part of this, as you bring the man in, sometimes they're not married, but in that process that happens.
Yes.
Which is the best outcome for that child.
Right. Yes. And we, one of our classes that's for couples, the first time we offered it, there was a segment on single parenting and why it's best to get married instead of living together.
Right.
And after that class, the teacher thought that there had been mutiny and didn't think anyone would come back the next week. But sure enough, they did. And hearts were touched, and they got it. And either the girls realized they were involved with the bum and needed to move on and get away from an unhealthy situation, or they got married.
Well, you know what? I think I read somewhere that the truth sets you free.
I wonder where you heard that.
Yeah. So, I mean, I don't know why it is we're afraid to challenge people with the truth, because it is the truth that makes them free, the truth that sets them on the path of not just life, but as Jesus said, abundant life.
Yes.
Before we run out of time here, Joe, I want to – there might be somebody listening here that is where you were 17 years ago, you know, maybe a growing passion to do something. Now is the time to do something.
Yes.
What would you suggest to those that might want to be more involved in helping create this understanding that life is sacred and tangibly help?
Get involved in the pro-life communities. There are so many outlets. There are pregnancy centers in thousands of them across the nation right now, and we all need volunteers. Start a pregnancy center in an area that needs one.
Mm-hmm.
And these days, a lot of rural areas are going mobile and getting mobile units that are
right.
able
yeah,
to go
exactly.
where women
you
are.
You have one, too.
We have one through ICU Mobile. Love that. And that
yes.
is a...
We've worked with them. They're great.
They are amazing. That's where I heard you speak the first time, was at an ICU Mobile
okay.
conference.
All
so,
right.
yeah. So... Now I just lost my train of thought. I started thinking about ICU, and I love it.
Well, about the mobile clinics, about that's one way
yes.
people can make a difference right
yes.
there in their community. That's a great way because you can move around,
yes.
be versatile, and you don't have a lot of overhead.
That's exactly right, and that's why so many people are going that route now. So get in touch with ICU Mobile. Get in touch with CareNet. Find out how to open a center. Go pray on the sidewalk outside of an abortion clinic. We know
yes.
that is
yes.
effective. Peaceful prayer, it works, but get involved. There's so many ways in our communities now, and I believe that before God, we are responsible to do what we can to protect life.
Absolutely, absolutely. Joe Markham, thank you so much for joining us today on Washington Watch.
Thank you for having me. It was a pleasure.
All right, looking forward to being with you and all your folks tonight here in Texas. I think we're going to have a great night.
Going to have some good barbecue.
Oh, all right. Now you're talking. All right, folks, check that out. Go to TonyPerkins.com. And really, I mean, this is a moment in time where we all need to be doing something. If this is your passion, life. It's a key issue. It's one of the main issues. And I actually believe we're seeing, and I've talked about this before on the radio, that, you know, repentance, we talk about repenting for abortion in this country. Well, repenting means changing. It means turning. It means changing your mind, changing the path that you're on. I believe our nation is ready for repentance when it comes to abortion. I see that change coming. We need to be a part of that, both from a spiritual, but it's not just spiritual. It translates into the physical. I mean, as we repent with a broken heart over what's happened with the unborn, then we do something to change the course the nation is on. And it's happening. Be a part of it. All right, folks, out of time. You know what that music means. It means I'm going away for 24 hours. But I'll be back again tomorrow, Lord willing, and I hope you will as well. Until then. I leave you with the encouraging words of the Apostle Paul found in Ephesians 6, where he says, when you've done everything you can do, when you've prayed, when you've prepared, and when you have taken your stand, by all means, keep standing.
Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is powered by the Family Research Council and is entirely listener-supported. For more information on anything you've heard today, or to find out how you can partner with us in our ongoing efforts to promote faith, family, and freedom, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our watch line at 1-866-372-7234. That's 1-866-372-7234.